Essay, Part 2. Each day I carried my secret to work, where the families I cared for were also hesitant to mention their child's diagnosis. A combination of shame and fear had driven some halfway across the state to avoid being seen in an AIDS clinic in their hometowns. The stigma was intense, even for children, who were considered innocent victims. On the nightly news, we saw images of a tearful Ryan White, barred from attending school, and a frightened family in Florida burned out of their home. But everyone had their own worries about public disclosure, their own stories to conceal. There was a child I'll never forget, Jasmine, one of the sickest on my caseload, a bright 8-year-old with a wise little face framed by frizzy brown hair. She lived with her mother and grandmother, but was often in the hospital. I'd usually find her on a comfortably padded stretcher next to the nurse's station. Concerned that Jasmine might overhear a careless remark on the ward, the social worker and I tried to persuade her mother to tell her that she had AIDS. But Jasmine's mother refused to even discuss it. Perhaps she couldn't bear the guilt over having transmitted the virus to Jasmine. I longed to move beyond the labels that separated us, nurse, wife, mother, person with AIDS, and share my own story. But I kept my promise to Clarence. One day, as we made rounds, I found Jasmine at her usual post. Pale and listless, with barely enough energy to create another of the crayon drawings that decorated our cubicles, she called me over. "I want to talk to you about something important," she said, obviously making an effort to talk. I prepared myself. Was she going to ask me the question I couldn't answer? Wasn't I bound to respect her mother's wishes? I leaned over Jasmine's stretcher to hear. "I am very sick," she whispered, pausing for breath. "I think I have AIDS, but you have to promise. Don't tell my mother. It's a secret. She would be sad if she found out." A few weeks later, at Jasmine's funeral, I wondered if she and her mother had found a way to speak honestly before she died. And again, I wished I could have let her mother know how much I shared in her pain. Clarence died a year later after a long slide, and I no longer had to keep silent. Only then did I begin to acknowledge my own fears. At the bereavement support group, when it was time to share my own story, I passed, afraid the cancer widows would judge me. For years afterward, when someone would innocently ask, "How did your husband die?" the answer would stick in my throat. I found myself carefully measuring the questioner. Would they ask how he got it? AIDS always seemed to raise that question. And how would they feel about me if they knew? It's been more than 15 years since I left my job at the clinic. Times have changed and the stigma has diminished. Meanwhile, the incidence of AIDS is on the rise again, particularly among young women of color. I think of the thousands who will be diagnosed this year and wonder if they will suffer alone, afraid to speak. The secret I kept for Clarence still has power over me. Even now, when a new acquaintance asks about my late husband, I hesitate. Then I remember Jasmine and that painful silence we all kept back then. I take a breath and speak in a clear, strong voice. My husband died of AIDS.